all the angels something, they bow before your throne. All the elders cast their crown before the Lamb of God and sing, you're worthy of it all. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. You got to love life in Christ. If you don't love life in Christ, you get the wrong Christ. There's only one, but you know, you can serve another Jesus. There are some people that serve another Jesus. Paul talked about it. Let it be anathema if you're going to try and serve another Jesus. There's only one true living Christ, one Savior, one Lord who's at the right hand of God the Father right now, interceding on your behalf, praying for your miracle and your breakthrough, praying for your provision, praying for you that you'll fulfill the hope of God's calling. You know, when that word came forth, and we're going to echo that again because it's in the bulletin as well, that Pastor Lucia read out of Timothy, that God has not given us the spirit of fear. You know, the response of the church of the living God, the people of God, the body of Christ, that response should be, it's not necessarily, you know, in these exact words, but it's like, I submit myself to the authority of that word. I yield to everything that God says concerning me that I'm supposed to do or who I'm supposed to be. I submit myself to the authority of that word. I yield myself. Because see, saints, this is what faith is really all about. Submitting ourselves to the will of God. It is submitting to the authority and power of God. Because see, we can be like children. You may be seated. Father, we thank you for this privilege and opportunity to break the bread of life. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For you are my Lord and you're my strength and you're my Redeemer. Hallelujah. We can be like children, if you will. And children in the sense of parenting. You tell your child to do something and they either don't do it or they're doing something you told them not to do. You know, and they exhibit that rebellious, sinful nature that didn't just start with them. It started with Adam when he first transgressed against God, and that has passed on from generation to generation and person to person. And so that nature refuses to submit to authority. Its constant reaction to authority is to resist and to rebel against it. It does not want to be told what to do. It wants to do its own thing, its own way, you know, based on what it thinks is right for it to do. So if God says, don't drink that Drano, and that unsubmitted, rebellious nature says, drink the Drano, it's okay. After all, God says, if you take any deadly thing, it won't hurt you. There's some people who actually believe that's what the scripture means. So they go and they play with rattlesnakes. They go and they play with deadly snakes, thinking that, you know, nothing, if they take up any deadly thing, it won't hurt them. A snake, if it bites them, they won't die. They take it in that literal sense, and that's really not what it's talking about. But I'm just trying to illustrate that Adamic nature, that sinful nature, automatically resists and rebels against the authority of one that's over it. It could be a parent. It could be a supervisor. It could be God. It could be a husband. It could be a wife in the sense of, you know, she might give you some good advice to do. And I'm not saying that the husband is supposed to submit to the wife, because God has already said the wife submits to the husband. Amen? But if your wife gives you some advice that is right, you're the woman, I don't submit to you. It's like, no, just honor that word that has been given and go and reap the benefits from it, amen? And enjoy the grace of God together. So the rebellious nature, it just fights against all authority. It just resists. And a lot of times, if we don't grow out of that, which is what maturity is all about, We grow out of it, we repent of it, and then we grow out of it, if you will. But if we don't grow out of it, we'll continue to resist even the things that are good for us, such as a parent trying to give their child vegetables. Kids don't like vegetables, but these are good for you. I don't like it. I don't want it. Where did that come from? It came from that rebellious nature. That's a simple illustration, but we can all relate to it in our daily living, if you will. Your boss on the job told you to do something. You didn't want to do it. You were angry about it. You even did it in the anger if you did it. I'm doing it, but I don't want to do it. Many times that's how the children of Israel were dealing with God. God would give them a commandment to do something. Some of them, they went ahead and did it, but they did it with anger in their heart. Their heart was not right. Paul had to write to the church at Corinth. He says, when you give your offerings, don't give it grudgingly nor of necessity. You know, God prizes in the Amplified. He cherishes, if you will, a cheerful, hilarious, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in their giving. So God doesn't even want you bringing your tithes and offerings before him with an angry heart or a heart that says, I don't want to do this, but here, that kind of thing. Yeah, you should have just kept it. You might as well went ahead and wasted it on something else, because that attitude in the giving is what will really ruin or cause the blessing to come forth on you. Whenever you bring something to God, bring it with a grateful and cheerful heart. Understand that this is not your last opportunity for success. This is the beginning. You're doing the right thing, and just rejoice in it. You know, put some fertilizer on your offering. What do you mean by that? Put some praise with it. Put some thanksgiving with it. Put some, I thank you, Lord, for this provision. I'm just giving you a small portion of what you've given me. But here, because it's important to you, it's important to me, and that mindset and attitude. Give with a grateful heart. In your service to God, do it with gratefulness, thankfulness, being appreciative for everything that he's done for you, because without him, you wouldn't even be able to live a second. It's his breath that we breathe. Hallelujah. It's his life that we live, because he's the author of life. And so, out of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, again, as we talk about part two, overcoming the fear of failure, if you're going to fail, fail forward. It's not just a motivational type thing. It's like, no, we're here. We're, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26, so I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. This is life. It's not a game. Although we may have fun in life, and we ought to enjoy life, if you will. But life itself is very serious. We only have so many years on this planet to carry out God's perfect will. The day that we got born again is the day that we came into purpose. Prior to that, we were lost. No matter how good life was to us, or even how bad life were to us, we were lost. But when we came to Jesus, we were found. He wasn't lost, we were. We came to Jesus, we were found. We are now in the right place. Now we grow. And this life that we have on this earth is only so long. And we want to make sure that we fulfill everything that God has ordained for us to do as his sons and daughters in the earth. And we know that it's good because our God is good. Jesus, when the rich young ruler came to him, good master, what must I do? And Jesus is like, why callest thou me good? There's only one good, and that is God. Tell your neighbor, God is good. He's a good God. You have no reason to dread, fear, or even have an adverse attitude and mindset towards him, because he's a good God. Hallelujah. And when he comes into your life, he only makes life better. Praise God. Irregardless to the stuff that happens, he still makes life better. This is why you're on the job and you're rejoicing and everybody else is moaning. And they're wondering, why are you still happy? Why are you still joyful? Why are you still, we're mad. We're protesting. We're this, we're that. We're resisting. Why are you cooperating with them? Management is evil. Management signs my paycheck. I'm not here because of management. I'm here because of divine assignment from God. He opened that door for me. I'm just going to go through here and let the light shine. Praise God. And if they resist the light, that's on them. But at least I let the light shine. I didn't come into this dark place to be dark. Ah, praise God. came in to light the place up with the goodness and the glory of God. I want you to see how good my God is. Moses said, Lord, show me your glory. God said, I'll show you my goodness. You see God's goodness, you've seen his glory. Praise God. And that's what he's waiting to manifest through each and every one of us. It just takes our cooperation. We can't have that child mentality, if you will. When I say child, I'm not talking about the childlike faith that Jesus talked about. I'm talking about that rebellious nature that we were born with the first time. You know, you needed two earthly parents in order to get into the world, but you need the Holy Spirit and the water of God's word to get into the kingdom. Let me say that again because it just went over some of your heads. You needed two parents. You needed a male and a female, a father and a mother, a husband and a wife to get into this world. But to get into the kingdom of God, as Jesus says, unless you are born of the water and the spirit, you cannot enter. Unless you're born again, you cannot see or perceive it. So once you're born again, you not only can see and perceive it, you're born of the word, you're born of the spirit of the living God. You now can enter in, and as you enter in, don't enter into the kingdom and then try and live like you're still in the world. Live as if you're in the kingdom. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost reign in the kingdom. The kingdom is not just talk only. The kingdom is power that backs up the talk that you speak. We live now as heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. We live as kings and priests unto our Heavenly Father. Our life reflects the royalty of the kingdom of God. This is royal living. When God gives us that command on how we should live, this is living royalty. Hallelujah. Praise God. And guess what? We live royally. Royalty will follow us. We don't have to seek blessings. Jesus taught us like this. He says, don't be like the Gentiles. The Gentiles are chasing after everything. They're chasing after clothing. They're chasing after cars. They're chasing after houses. They're chasing after food. They're chasing after rent. They're chasing after these things. Jesus says, not for you. He says, seek ye first what? Anybody that knows their Bible, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek ye first. First, what? What's your priority? Hallelujah. Seek how to live according to the kingdom that you're now birthed into. We already know how to live in the world. We already know how the world lives. But we're in this world, but we're no longer of it. It's no longer our origin. We died the day we got born again. In the words of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, I think that's how you pronounce his name. It's like God is the only one that bids you to come to him and then to die. Hallelujah. Die to your old way of living. Die to your old life. Die to the old nature. That rebellious nature that rebels and resists authority. It doesn't matter if it's your mother or your daddy. It doesn't matter if it's your supervisor. It doesn't matter if it's your teacher. It doesn't matter if a person, if it's the police, you know, anybody in authority, that rebellious nature just automatically, I ain't doing it. You know, I don't want to, you know, and just resist. Praise God. Now you see what's happening out there in that stupid world, huh? Just resist authority. And God says, I'm the one that created authority. I'm the one that established authority. I established it for divine order. Because without it, you have chaos, confusion, and disorder. This is how we can have so many troubled marriages, because of resistance to authority. We resist what God is trying to get us to. So we think marriage is bad. Marriage is wonderful. Marriage is not bad. Marriage is wonderful. But we resist it. And then we have a generation that no longer thinks it's necessary. And then we have a sick generation out there that thinks that it's, you know, they pervert it. Who are you to say that? I'm just a servant of the Most High God. I'm just a voice crying out in the wilderness of society to prepare you the way of the Lord, make his path straight, get right with God, or get left. Hallelujah. You understand what I mean? It's not being judgmental. It's just society is sick and is in need of a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus. And no matter what they do, the problem is a sin problem. even if they hate you because of the color of your skin, or they hate you because you did them wrong, whatever it is, the bottom line is at the root of it is sin, the sinful nature. We overcome that, we overcome the world, praise God. Yeah. So in this passage where Paul is speaking to Timothy, he says, Timothy, you see it right there. Thank you, Minister Patton. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Amplified says it like this. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, a cowardice or craven and cringing and fawning fear type of spirit. Someone can find the scripture for me just so that you have it. But if it comes up in my spirit, I'll just say it. When Jesus and were on the scene, they didn't say it. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, no, they just spoke the word of life. I'm not making an excuse, but this is coming up in my spirit. The righteous are as bold as a lion. I believe this in Proverbs. I think it is. Last I checked, it used to be there. I don't think it moved or changed its address. Proverbs what, Minister Patton? Proverbs 28:1. You know, praise God. I heard 28:1 earlier in the spirit, and I thought it was a different verse, but I'm thankful that that's it. The righteous are and what else is there? Is there anything else after that? Okay. So the righteous are as bold as a lion. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Well, if he didn't give us the spirit of fear, what did he give us? Boldness. Anybody know what a lion is? Anyone ever been to a zoo? Anybody ever watched National Geographic or something like that? And you see how the lion is? They say, the experts, that a lion can roar with such fierceness in its roar that it paralyzes its enemy. In other words, just by the roar, the thing and can't even move because of fear. It's just how fierce his roar is. The righteous are as bold as a lion. A lion knows no fear. Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. You know, when we look at a lion, we can kind of get an understanding of what God is saying concerning us as his people. We may come to God with our own backgrounds, if you will, with our own weaknesses, if you will, with our own stigmas, if you will, with our own faults, if you will, with our own failures. We may come to God in that state, but we get born again. What does that mean? That means I used to be this way, but now I'm this way. Because if God says that word concerning me, I'm not going to operate in the old nature and resist it and say, oh no, I could never be that. I'm going to submit myself to the authority and power of that word so it has opportunity to produce the desired result that God has intended it to produce. Hallelujah. Glory. I may be weak in coming to God. I may be fearful. I may have a self-image problem, if you will. I may come to God as a grasshopper in my own mind, and so am I in the minds of others around me. But when I come to Jesus, and I submit myself to the authority and power of what he says I am. Whatever I was before, I'm not that no more. I died to that I may live to what he says. I may have come from humble origins, if you will. I may have come from a place of poverty and lack and despair.
I may have come from off of welfare, living first to the 15th, food stamps going in the store with. I may have come from that type of an origin. But when I come to the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, when I come to him and I get born again through the power and the authority of his word and the quickening of his spirit, I'm no longer that person I was. I can choose to live as that person I was, but then I'm simply resisting and allowing that rebellious nature that died with Christ on the cross. I'm letting that rebellious nature live and say, I know what you said about me, but Lord, you know my heart. You know that I'm trying to do the best that I can. God says hockey puck. Well, he doesn't say that. Pastor Kelly just said that. Hogwash. Say what I say. Don't say what you used to be. Nobody, I was a black sheep of the family. Nobody cared about me. Everybody mistreated me. You know, you gotta buckle up. You gotta toughen up. You know how it was in your earthly family. It can be twice as difficult in the kingdom because people never forget who you are. And they never let you become the person that God called you to be. So you got to be even twice as strong, if you will, when you come into the kingdom. Because your intentions is to fulfill the hope of God's calling concerning you. Everybody may not have that mindset, but you make sure you have the mindset. Everybody may not believe the authority and power of God's word, but you believe the authority and power of God's word. You got to understand that people will try and keep you conformed to the image that you were born the first time from your mother and your father. They want to keep you in that state. This is why you have no excuse. I don't care what your background was, where you were born, who you came through, what your parents did, what they did to you, what they did not do for you. It doesn't matter. When you come into the kingdom, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away. Behold, all things are new, and all things are of God. Yeah. This is what we cling to. This is what we hold fast to. So if Paul writes Timothy and says, Timothy, look, God didn't give us the spirit of fear. Now, mind you, he's speaking to Timothy, who is a young individual who has a zeal for the things of God. And when Paul and I believe it was Barnabas or Silas at that time, when they came to the region where they found Timothy, Paul was so impressed with Timothy that he says, come on, man, you can follow us. We're going to go preach the gospel. And Timothy went along with him. And then when he set him over ministries, he had to speak to him. Timothy, God hasn't given you the spirit of fear. He had to speak to him. Timothy, stir up the gift that is on the inside of you. Timothy, fan into flames the fire and the passion of God on the inside of you. Timothy, fear not. Don't let nobody despise your youth, Timothy. Use the authority and power of God's word and his spirit on the inside of you to accomplish God's will, Timothy. Hallelujah. Stop being who you were in your first birth and start enjoying who you are in your new birth in Christ Jesus. It's the reason you have to get born again into the kingdom of God and you leave behind the old person, the old nature. You don't resist God. You submit yourself. It just feels good to do that. It's even better when we live it. You know, we place ourselves under the authority and power of God. Most people don't do it because they're afraid. Afraid God's going to tell me to do something that I don't want to do. He's going to tell me to go to Africa. He's going to tell me to go to Asia. He's going to tell me to go to Turkey. He's going to tell me to go to one of these bad places where my life will be in jeopardy. He's going to tell me to stand up for truth. You know, and we don't want to submit ourselves to the authority of God. Well, you don't want to be a babe forever in the kingdom. you know, who's the youngest baby that we have in here now? Is it Olivia or is it somebody after that? Is it Ananiah? Ananiah is the youngest baby. Okay. And they're both petite, both small. 2 years from now, if they're the same size, you're going to look at Minister Posada, you're going to look at Sister Lauren, or you'll look at Brother Kwame, and you'll look at Sister Tika and say something like, what y'all doing wrong? Your baby's not growing. What's wrong with the baby? Anything wrong with the baby? Why? Because it's only natural for the baby to grow. Are you feeding the baby? Do you need some money to get some milk for the baby? What's wrong? The baby's not growing. The baby's still the same size they were 2 years ago. What's wrong? Something's wrong. It's the same in the realm of the spirit. If you're living as a new babe in Christ Jesus, now you, whatever age you come in at, you come in at that age. If you're able to believe in what Christ has done for you, then you don't need the guardian over you to help you. It's you now. You take responsibility. You bring yourself. Paul says, present your body. He's talking to you. Present your body. Your body wants to resist. Resist, resist, resist. Resist, resist, resist. I only want pleasure. Pleasure that I like. I don't like sitting in a chair listening to loudmouth Apostle Killings. I want to be out there doing my thing. And it didn't even work good. I just, you know, praise God. But you understand, you get the drift. I want to do my own thing. I want to live life my own way. I don't want no man telling me how to live. It's pride and arrogance and stupidity at its best. God's trying to get you to live royally. And this is not talking down to you. This is just merely speaking to you. Hallelujah. He's trying to get you to live royally as kings and priests unto our Heavenly Father. There's things that he wants to accomplish in and through each and every one of us. That's why I pointed out, I believe it was Wednesday night, some of the things that have happened in the past, God still wants to do that in the future. He wants to use you mightily in tragic situations. He wants to bring you in there and show you off as his workmanship. He's done something great on the inside of you, and he wants to show the world of what he did for you, he will also do for them. It's the only thing that brought me back to Pittsburgh was God said, what I've done for you, I want you to go back and let others see because I want to do it for them too. And I said, okay, hallelujah. To this very day, 34 years later, still on assignment from God, hungrier than I've ever been, more determined than I've ever been, not because I'm getting older and have fewer days on this earth, but because it is important to me to fulfill the hope of God's calling concerning my life. Everybody ought to want to have that mindset and attitude. We don't want to live our own lives anymore. If they were successful enough, we wouldn't need God. We came to him for a reason. And then he gave us a reason for living. Hallelujah. So we don't resist God by our attitudes and our mindset. We don't resist God by the pressures of this present world, this darkness, if you will. Darkness is no longer your master. Satan is not your master. And anybody walking in darkness is not your master. And they can have the audacity to try and tell you how you ought to be and what you ought to be doing. But they are not Jesus. And they are not the Word of God. And because they are neither one of those, one and the same, they can't tell you what to do or who you are and how you're supposed to be. Jesus does. God didn't give you the spirit of fear. Fear of what? Fear of doing his will. Fear of living his way. If you're around somebody that don't want you to live godly, don't let them pressure you to live ungodly. You rebuke that devil. I rebuke you, Satan, in Jesus' name. Get out of here. I'm living for God. I'm not living for you. And if we can't measure up to God, especially, you know, we celebrate. Can we just, Sister Gabby and Brother OCL, can you sit together just, you know, today? I know you're working and all, and I know you're on assignment, but are those seats taken? Can you just sit there and enjoy your wife, man? Come on over and enjoy your wife. Praise God. They ought to least. You know, with God, it's like the first year when you got married, and if a war was going on, you got to stay at home that first year to enjoy your wife. Amen. So how much more the first service? Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. Thank you for your service and labor of love. And thank you for decorating that seat the way you do. Wouldn't be the same without you. We love you. Amen. But, you know, you understand what I'm saying? You get hooked up with somebody, and they don't want to serve God. The Bible already tells you, don't be unequally yoked with a non-believer. You're a believer, they're a non-believer. They don't believe, don't get yoked up with them. Yeah. Don't hang around ungodly company. Why? Because if you're not influencing them, they're influencing you. You may have to work with them. You might bump into them in the marketplace. You may see them on the streets. But as far as sharing in common, you have nothing in common. They could be your blood relative. Oh, you're getting too serious now. No. Ungodly is ungodly. Yeah. If you're not influencing them, they're influencing you. Well, what do I do when I go around? I let your light shine that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Don't go around them silent like, you know, your God ain't done nothing for you. Tell them what your God has done for you. And they're talking about issues and problems that, you know, this happened and that happened, and you're on mute, and you know the answer. And you won't say nothing? Did you bring yours? Thank you. You see, we're not, you know. I know we need, for the camera's sake, we need to be a little bit more professional. Hallelujah. We're trying to get something across. We want to raise an army. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Why are you afraid of him? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. See, because if you're too afraid to tell your loved ones or to tell that coworker or that other person, then just do yourself a favor. Don't keep company with them. But if you're going to keep company with them and you're not going to be the light, you're partaking of their darkness. You're feeding into them. You're giving them the impression. That the way they're living and what they're doing is okay. When the room is dark and you flip that light switch, what happens? Somebody said, light, who? You can see? Okay. What? Tom, who said about? Who said it? Who said it? Come on, you said it? Come on, Sister Wallace. Did you say it? It was Sister Wallace. She said it. Darkness flees. No, the light comes on. No, darkness flees. Darkness ruled until light came. So when you come in a room, darkness should flee. If darkness is still ruling, and we need to check ourselves. Because either we forgot that we're the light or we're complicit with the darkness. There's a difference between you and the ungodly. There's a difference between a person who wants to honor God and a person who does not want to honor God. And if you become complicit with the one who does not want to honor God, guess what that makes you? A person who doesn't want to honor God. And that's not to make you feel bad. It's just living reality. God wants to shake things up. Jesus said, "Lo, I'll be with you to the end of the age." The age is not over. But we are very close. We're closer than when we first believed. We're closer than when Paul then first believed. Even when Paul wrote that letter. We are closer than what we when we first believed. Amen. It's not like you're trying to provoke hatred. You're trying to provoke love. What love? The love of God for all humanity. Dad loves the world. Everybody, all of us, and he wants all of us to be saved. And the only way we will get saved is through receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. There is no other way. There is no other name. Acts 4:12, neither is there any other name given amongst men or given any other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. To as many as received him, to them he gave the power, John 1:12, to become sons of God, even to those who believe on his name. We have the message. We don't have it to hoard it to ourselves because we're saved now. But we must share it with others because that's the will of the Father. And if we do that, we'll see salvations. If we don't do it, the world stands in darkness even when we're the light. Because see, the most, I don't know if I'm saying this right, but the most difficult thing to face is this. To be buddy-buddy with somebody who's going to hell. And you guys live together, do everything together, and then you die and they die. You go on to be in glory. They go to hell. What kind of a friend is that? I'd rather let the person know where they stand with God than to hide it just to be a friend with me. Because if I tell them and they leave me, it's on them. If I don't tell them, then it's on me. And God is like, why didn't you? Why didn't you? Why didn't you? Why didn't you? I just never found the time. I just never had the opportunity. I just couldn't. I didn't know how to fit it in. I didn't know how. Just tell them I love them so much that I don't want them to die and go to hell. But that message seems too hard. That message is living truth and reality. This is the way it is. God's given us the responsibility. Stand to your feet. For God had not given us the spirit of fear, and we just stop right there. Timidity, cowardice. Fawning, cringing fear. He has given us a spirit of power. Hallelujah. This is what Dad gave us. Yeah, everybody see that? Power. Power. Authoritative power. Dunamis power. He's given us power. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Power. Everybody say the PG&E is on. Praise God. PG&E is on. That bill ain't gonna get, you know, that bill is already paid. Power, generating power and love. Hallelujah. The message that God gave us is a message of love. It's God's love to mankind. Hallelujah. God loves us so much. He gave. For I delivered unto you first also that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. Jesus just didn't die because he did something wrong. He died for our sins. He died intentionally because it was the only way to save humanity. And that he was buried. And on the third day, he rose from the dead according to the scriptures. Hallelujah. That's the message that we have to share with people. And through that message, the simplicity of it, it's like simple dynamite. Yeah. It's like the fuse, the message is a fuse. And then they receive, boom, the power of God is released in the person's life. Power, love is released in the person's life. And a sound mind. You crazy. Y'all been reading too much of that Bible. That Bible has made you crazy. No, that Bible is God's word to us. His love letter to us. We are operating in our right mind because we're operating in the kingdom mindset and not that old rebellious nature that we were born with in the world. Of the world. Through our parents and their parents and their parents. All the way back to Adam and Eve in the garden. No, we're living in the newness of life that is in Christ Jesus. And we want as many as we possibly can to get into the kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Receive. Submit to the authority and power of God's word. You feel like you're weak? Receive power today. You got hatred in your heart? Receive love today. You think you're cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs? Receive soundness of mind today. Hallelujah. Because it wasn't just to Timothy. Paul was talking about that. He said us, the church of the living God, the body of Christ, power, love, and a sound, sober, disciplined mind. Your mind doesn't have to go all over the world. You can bring it into subjection and focus it on what it needs to think and meditate on. Hallelujah. Exercise your muscles. If you don't, it turns into flab. Anybody ever work out before? I certainly have. You know what happens if you don't keep working out? Yeah, I got, who's that? That was a good Yeah. Yeah, that muscle turns into flab, and it's like, man, was I ever there? I remember one time I was working in the summer in Minister Kino's. I think you might have asked me because I was doing the keyboard, and you might have asked me about the workout or something. Was I working out? And I was like, yeah, and those muscles were popping out of that shirt and stuff. You don't stay with it, all of a sudden the flab starts popping out of it, you know, and it's like you can't button up your I'm using myself, but you know, praise God, we all can use some Jenny Craig and some, not everybody, you know, some of y'all are in good shape, but you know, some of us can use some Jenny Craig and some Nutrisystem and some Weight Watchers and some Slim Fast and Slim Slow. Praise God, amen. It's helping you to swallow the medicine that you just received, amen. Praise God. Sometimes you have to use a little sweetener to get you to swallow. Okay, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. I'm really not good. I'm not that bad. Okay. No. We got to change our mindset. Dad wants these seats filled. Hallelujah. Dad wants to save Antioch, Pittsburgh, Bay Point, whatever city you live in, Dad wants to save that city. Hallelujah. He can deliver by few or he can deliver by many. Dad wants to save your loved ones, your family members. You know, it grieves my heart sometimes when I see they just turn away for the most ridiculous reasons. You know, and I don't mean to put them on blast, but, you know, when I see something, it's like, no, God's trying to do something, and then you want to go off and do something dumb. I would say it, but then I might, you know, get into more trouble. Not with Pastor Lucia. It's not that. It's just, you know, I don't want to disrupt what God is trying to do in our family. But they can, you know, family, they can pick some of the dumbest reasons not to do what they ought to do. Sometimes you just get so downright angry. But, you know, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. So if I go any further, I'm going to step into sin and I'll need to repent. I'm telling you, they can be sometimes challenging, but you know what? You still stand your ground. You don't compromise to their standards. You live before them, you walk before them in the fullness and power of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yeah. Hate when people get in the way of God, but you know, patience. Hallelujah. Patience. Giving them an opportunity to grow. Just don't want them to die in that state. You know, it'd be very hard to preach somebody's funeral that you know didn't make it to heaven. You can only do like R. Schombach did. I learned from him, one of the best. They asked him to do the funeral. He knew the person wasn't saved. So Schombach got up there on the platform wherever they had that funeral. He looked at that casket, and it was a man, boy.
That boy is gone to hell.
Just like that. Oh, that'll wake everybody up. Did he say what I think he just said? But then after he preached, he gave an altar call. And people gave their lives to Jesus Christ. because he didn't make believe. He didn't make him think something that wasn't real. He knew that boy was in hell, so he wasn't going to tell him God received him in heaven to make people feel good. He spoke the truth to them in love, and as a result, many gave their lives to Jesus. Praise God. Father, we thank you for this privilege and opportunity. I'm not going to have anybody come forward, but Holy Ghost, you know the sons and daughters in this place. You know where they are in their walk with you. I pray that we all grow, we all mature, we see things from your respective perspective, and that we don't let the little boy or the little girl, we don't let that spirit of resistance, that Adamic nature, that fallen nature rule in us. But we willingly submit our lives to the authority and power of your word and to the leading and guidance of the Holy Ghost, that we may bring glory and honor to your name. You've not given us the spirit of fear, cowardice, timidity, but you've given us power, love, and a sound, sober, clear-thinking mind. We submit ourselves to the authority and rule of that word, God. And Father, we pray that when we face our loved ones, or when we face us even a stranger, that the boldness that you speak of, when the word says the righteous are as bold as a lion, that that holy boldness shall rise up in us, and we'll share the gospel message with those that we come into contact with. If they resist us, according to Jesus, it's not us they're resisting. It is you that they are resisting. We're simply the messengers. I pray for a special and unusual anointing on this assembly, Lord God, that this word will not be spoken in vain, but that, Father, the anointing will be upon them, that they will see the goodness and the glory of God like never before, as we simply comply with your will being done in the earth, and not our own and not another. Father, I pray for miracles, healing, signs, and wonders to confirm the word that is preached out of the mouths of your sons and daughters in this place, that we become so consumed with carrying out your will, Lord God, that nations will come into the kingdom as a result. We pray for revival. We pray for renewal. We pray for refreshing that comes from the Lord, from the fragrance of our God, that even as we're about your business, it comes before your nostrils as sweet smelling aroma, a sweet smelling incense, because your will is being done. Let your kingdom expand and enlarge even this week. We thank you for the 10 souls that came into the kingdom this week. We pray over those 10 souls that none will die a stillbirth, but all will grow in the measure and stature and fullness of Christ Jesus, and that there is further contact made with them, that not only do we get them saved with the message of the gospel, but we make disciples out of them as you have instructed us to. Lord, help us in building, help us in edifying, help us, Father, in discipling, help us, Lord God, in causing men and women, boys and girls, youth, teenagers, causing this generation to come to Jesus. Use us mightily, Lord. Fill this house even to overflowing. In everything that you do in and through us, in everything that you do in the earth, we vow and commit ourselves to give you glory. So we thank you for what you're doing on the other side of this world. We thank you for what you're doing in our nation and the nations abroad. We're so privileged and honored to be a part of the kingdom. So privileged and honored to be in our Father's business. Be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. With that being said, receive the blessing. The Lord our God bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious unto you and lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household, that he may bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And above all else, you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, so that the gates of hell will not prevail against you, but you triumph over the gates of hell, because you are the church of the living God and the pillar and ground of truth. The Lord be with you everywhere you go. Bless the works of your hands. Order your steps, direct your path, guide you with this eye. In Jesus' name, And everybody who agreed said amen. Amen. Greet one another in the name of the Lord. We love you dearly.